biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another transforming conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another transforming conversation. My name is Greg Hughes, your host for this conversation. Joining me is Pastor Rock, and thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the upcoming events that we're looking at ACAC. There has been some questions floating around from different people about your successor and how we are finding your successor. And ACAC has hired an outside firm to find a successor for you, find our Joshua.
To assist us.
To assist us, right.
Yes.
And there are some questions as to how and why and those type of things that ACAC and we made the decision to do that. And I think this would be a really good opportunity to kind of just share of why we chose to go with an outside firm to assist us.
Sure.
In finding our Joshua.
I'd be glad to do that because it's a very important piece of what we're doing. Well, I stressed as you were introducing this question that we have hired a firm to assist us.
Right.
Because we're trusting the Holy Spirit for the final decision, but we're employing a Christian experienced search firm to help us get to the people that we'll interview, pray over, consider as a part of making that final decision. So let me back up and take the view from 30,000 feet and then at the end hone in a little more closely. As we were thinking about searching for my successor, we quickly realized that we would not, in the natural, have any awareness of most of the good candidates to lead ACAC into the future.
That's right.
And I say that because when you're looking for the next lead pastor of a megachurch, and that's what we are according to the numerical definitions, 98% of American churches are 200 people or less.
Wow.
And the people pastoring those churches live and minister in a totally different world than the world of a pastor of a larger church. I'm not implying it's better.
Right.
I'm not implying it's more successful. Obviously, in small community, a church of 200 may be reaching more of its community than we're reaching of ours.
Right.
So it's not a matter of more spiritual, better, worse, whatever, but it is different.
Mm-hmm.
I've pastored in a small church. My first church had 90 people in it. And it's a very different life. I mean, you're the only pony in the circus. I did the preaching. I led the choir. I did the visiting. I did the counseling. I laid out the bulletin. I mean, it's a very, very different life than the one I lead now. And if I tried to follow that model in a congregation of this size, I would kill it.
Oh, man. Right.
I'd become the brakes, the bottleneck, the bump in the road. I'd die and the church would die.
Right.
Fortunately, God prepared me for what he had in plan for ACAC by my experience in that first small church, because by God's grace, it grew to over 600 people in 7 years. And I had to adjust the way I pastored probably three or four times during that seven-year period.
Right.
Each time giving away something I had been doing, defining my duties more narrowly.
Mm-hmm.
So that prepared me to come to ACAC, which was 400 people at the time, but which God had plans to grow into thousands. And during my sojourn here, I've had to redefine myself probably six or seven times, and each time defining my duties more narrowly. All that to say, if we would reach out and bring a godly, spirit-filled, evangelistic, visionary young pastor whose experience has been entirely in churches of 200 or less and ask him to lead here, we'd be almost certainly guaranteeing his failure.
Right. Not fair to him.
Not fair to him and not fair to us. Everybody right. would be frustrated.
Right.
So I say that because the candidate pool for my successor isn't tens of thousands.
Right.
Because there aren't tens of thousands of pastors who have been in situations like this. Then you add to that are rather unique, not totally unique, but rare identity.
Right.
As a mega church in an urban setting on 2 acres of land that is multicultural and authentically diverse, and now the experienced, the pool of experienced people in this paradigm gets really small.
Right.
Which means our search needs to be national, not local.
Right.
It can't come just from within the alliance because, frankly, when it comes to a large, multicultural urban church in the alliance, we're it.
There isn't any other more.
No, there may be one or two others, but they're not multicultural.
Right.
They tend to be expats.
Right.
We're basically it.
Yeah.
Our leadership acknowledges that.
Right.
So we need to fish in a bigger pond as we look for my successor.
Right.
A pond much bigger than Pastor Blaine, who do you know? Pastor Ross, who do you know? District Superintendent, who do you know?
Right.
President Stumbo of the Alliance, who do you know? We need a bigger pond than that.
Right.
Hey. Well, how are we got to be aware of who's out there? We aren't.
That's right.
We aren't. Now, we could post the opening on a church job site, and you pay for that.
Right.
But when you post an opening on a job site, I know from experience, you get all the people you don't want to hire.
That's right.
You get the people who are frustrated where they're at, tired, failing, and looking for a silver bullet and a new opportunity where hopefully things will be better.
Right.
Or you get somebody who isn't properly gifted, but they're starstruck by, ooh, a church like that?
Right.
That would be exciting.
Look at those. Yeah.
So it's a very ineffective way. So we hired a very experienced Christian job search headhunter firm called Slingshot, where the rep working with us is an experienced pastor who has been in his own church,
right,
but has been a staff member in a church of 20,000 people, who understands ministry, who himself has a track record. And his firm, Slingshot, is constantly monitoring thousands of people out in pastoral ministry without their being aware of it.
Oh, wow.
Observing them, watching what's happening in their churches, talking to their people. They don't get most of their talent pool, if you will, by people sending in their name and saying, hey, when you're looking, consider me.
Right.
In fact, our rep told us a funny story. He said, we get about 7 or 8 people coming to us asking that we be included in their talent pool. They always come on Monday morning. From pastors who are bummed out and discouraged from what just happened on Sunday.
Right, right.
By Thursday, 75% of them call back and say, forget it. So they're out watching.
Right.
They're watching pastors in large churches. They're watching pastors in urban churches. They're watching pastors in multicultural churches. Now, again, those last two categories shrink dramatically, but they're out there watching.
Right.
They're watching to ascertain where their gifts are, where their abilities are. Then they take the profile that our own leadership has put together in a carefully guided process with the assistance of another consultant who helped us to diagnose our internals, decide what challenges we want to address before the successor and what really should be left to the successor.
Right.
What abilities, for example, our profile says the person who comes here needs to live in the community. If they aren't willing, forget it. That's a no-go.
Right.
They need to be committed to and experienced in following the lead of the Holy Spirit, because that's been a value at ACAC since its founding.
That's right.
And it's my core value in everything I've done.
Right.
They need to be comfortable in a multicultural scenario and value it. They need to be able to relate
right
to different cultures.
Right.
They need to understand the difference between urban ministry and suburban or small town ministry. And there's a whole host. They need to have a strong expository presence in the pulpit.
Right.
They need to be able to lead other leaders who are strong in their own gifting.
Right.
They need to be able to manage a large staff. I mean, there's a whole profile. So they take that profile, join it to the thousands of people they're constantly monitoring, then they'll come back to us with probably 10 suggestions. Then, with a careful interview process that they trained us in,
right,
7 of our people will interview these folks. And in all of that, we'll be trusting the Holy Spirit to use that process to help us come down to that one person he's been preparing.
Right.
So that's why I say the firm will assist us, but the decision will be ours in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But they'll assist us in identifying really viable candidates, because the wrong person could set ACAC back 20 years.
Right.
The right person could lead us for the next 20 years.
Right.
Now, if this whole process feels a little unspiritual or unbiblical, I want to say that the first example of a search firm is in the book of Genesis. When Abraham was looking for a wife for Isaac, and things were done differently then. You know, he didn't send Isaac out to date around.
Right.
Mates were generally chosen. But Abraham knew his promised son's spouse was going to play an important role.
Oh, yeah.
In the establishment of the Hebrew people and all that God intended when he called Abram.
Right.
So this marriage had massive kingdom and covenant implications.
Right.
Abraham didn't just ask around in the handful of people he knew. Hey, who do you think be a good bride for Isaac?
Right.
He knew he needed to make that selection from a bigger talent pool than the one he knew.
Right.
So what did he do? He sent one of his servants, somebody he employed.
Right.
Right. A paid servant.
Mm-hmm.
To do what? To go out and beat the bushes.
Right.
To look, it sounds bad, doesn't it? To look at a variety of women. I don't know how else to say it. And to look for women who would fit the opportunity and the future and where God was leading.
Right.
To look for good candidates to be Isaac's wife.
Right.
And that servant looked far and wide, but he asked the Holy Spirit to guide him. And if you remember, even laid out some cause the one who is to be the to do this at the well and to offer to draw water for me,
right,
et cetera, which was rather unheard of. And he found Isaac's bride. But he made a profound statement. The servant said, while I was in the way, while I was out beating the bushes,
right,
the Lord led me.
Hmm.
And from that, somebody concocted the little statement that I've used many times. God can't steer a parked car.
That's right.
You have to be in the way. And while you're in the way, God will lead you.
Right. Okay.
You have to be out on the way. You have to put the car in gear and start
moving.
Start moving, and God will lead you.
Right.
While he was in the way, God led him. Okay. So the Holy Spirit wasn't divorced from the process, but he put himself in a position where the Holy Spirit could lead him.
That's right.
That's what our search firm, Slingshot, is doing for us. We've employed them, kingdom people.
Right, right.
They aren't looking at people from a business perspective. These are kingdom people.
Right.
They're looking through the lenses of Scripture. They're looking for character, godliness, gifts. We've sent them out. And while they're in the way, we're trusting the Spirit to lead them to 7, 8, 9, 10 viable candidates. Then we'll start on the way of interviewing those 7, 8, 10 candidates, probably no more than 10. Because as the firm said, if you reject the first 10, we're not going to bring you more until you make up your mind what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you reject everybody we bring to you, then you weren't clear with us when you established the profile, or you've changed your mind, or you don't know what you want.
Right.
And we can't help you. So let's go back to that process.
Yeah.
But then we'll be on the way to interviewing those viable candidates. And while we're on the way, we'll trust the Spirit to lead us.
That's right.
Hey, I was pastoring in the town of Northeast. I was happy. I had no thought of leaving there. And then the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder when the district asked me that the ACAC was looking for a new lead pastor, and they had mentioned my name, and would I be interested in meeting with them to seek the leading of the Lord?
Right.
And I met with them, and the Spirit began to speak and made it clear to me and to them that this was my next assignment. And I think it's safe to say God affirmed that.
Right.
The person we want is out there not looking for a new position because they're frustrated.
Right.
They're out, hopefully, hitting it out of the park where God put them.
Right.
not knowing their next assignment. And when Slingshot contacts them and they see the profile, and then if they should be one of those that meet with us, that'll be the process whereby the Holy Spirit taps them on the shoulder and says, this is your next kingdom assignment. But see, if we just sat here on the north side and said, oh God, bring in our next lead pastor, well, we'd be sitting here maybe till Jesus returns. Right. Because God doesn't steer a parked car.
Right.
We work like everything depends on us, and then we pray like everything depends on God. And in the process, that's when we find God's leading.
Right.
So why are we using a search firm? Because we want the will of God.
Right.
And we're not going to find it just, hey, do you know somebody? Hey, do you know somebody? We need a bigger pool. We need a pool of people who have the right gifting and who have experience. My successor, this will not be his first gig as a pastor.
Right.
I mean, that would be stupid.
Yeah.
We need somebody with experience, but yet somebody young enough that they can do a good long run. We don't want somebody 60 years old.
Right.
Who has lots of experience, but maybe he's only got to go 5 more years. You know, the interesting thing, ACAC's 125, 6 years old. I'm only the 7th lead pastor.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's incredible, because the average is 3.5 years.
No kidding, 3.5
years. Nationwide, American Church is 3.5 years.
Wow.
We want somebody who's got experience. I grew on the job from 400 to several thousand. The next person's got to start with a couple thousand here.
Yeah, so they need that experience.
They need experience. Or enough experience that there's demonstrated capacity to quickly get up to speed and then lead it into the future.
Now, I'm sure their thought may be around whenever Slingshot's looking for somebody, that is this a form of taking a pastor from where they're at?
Oh.
Taking them in, I don't want to use the word stealing another pastor.
No,
but
no, because ultimately it's up to that pastor. I mean, when the district, the Western PA District of the Alliance said, Rock, would you be interested in candidating at ACAC? I could have said no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but I engaged the process because I thought, well, I'm not looking, yet this has come on my doorstep.
Right.
I need to find out if God's in this.
Right.
Now, you remember, Greg, you've been here long enough. I did that years ago, and more recently in regards to being president of the Christian Missionary Alliance.
Right. Yeah.
It landed on my doorstep. I went looking for it.
Right.
But it was there. And I could have had that nomination and been in that position. So I sought the Lord, and I felt the Lord say, no, you stay in Pittsburgh, and I declined.
Right.
So it works both ways.
Yeah.
A pastor who's approached needs to seek the Lord.
Right.
He may know immediately, no, God's given me vision for I'm locked in. Just like me with the presidency. No, God had given me vision for ACAC. I knew, nah, I'm supposed to see this through. I'm not supposed to go.
Right.
So thank you. I'm blessed. I'm honored, but no thanks.
Right.
So if he feels, I'm not looking for this, but I sense I need to look into it.
At least look into it, right.
Yeah. It may be my next assignment. It may be God starting to get me ready for another assignment.
Right.
Or it may be God confirming me in my current assignment.
Exactly.
Because once I turned down the presidency, I was even more affirmed in my assignment here.
Right. You knew this.
I knew that. Yeah. I knew. So, no, it's not a stealing. It's because if God's in it, he has the right to move the workers around in his vineyard as he sees fit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, this was a little bit longer a conversation. I think it's worth it, and I'm glad we did. But I think explaining, assisting ACAC would clear up a lot of why
Yeah.
We went out and did that. And you can understand why people would be a little, you know, would question the process.
Well, if they think we've hired somebody and they're going to say, here's your next guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sign on for that.
Right.
They're helping us with the candidate pool.
Right.
Just as Abraham's servant did. We and the person will have to intuit the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But we believe the Spirit leads while we're on the way, not while we're sitting on our duff asking God to drop it in our lap.
Right. And after our team interviews our candidates, let's say there's three candidates that are really, you know, sensing God's leading. Do they come and then preach? Do the congregation get to meet them?
No.
Do they? How would that work?
We're got to bring it down to one.
Oh, okay.
Because God's only chosen one. And if you bring three people in on three successive weekends to preach to the congregation, here's what you'll get. Three different crowds.
Yeah, it will divide.
And then, if you pick one of them, two of those crowds feel like they lost.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to the successor, because then he begins knowing that there's a sizable portion of people out there who thought it should have been somebody else. Right. I wouldn't want to start under that scenario.
Yeah.
That's not fair to the person.
No, it's not.
No. So I call that approach the beauty contest. For lack of a better term, it's a misguided approach.
Yeah.
It's just a recipe for a lot of unhappiness.
Right.
If we're hearing from God, he's clear.
Yeah.
He'll show us the one.
Yeah.
He won't show us three because we don't need three.
Yeah.
He'll show us the one.
Yeah, that's good.
Where will the congregation's voice be? They will be articulating to us the things we ought to be looking for, the things they value, the things they want to see. They'll be a part of the grid that will inform those interviews.
Right. And that's why those surveys that we put out are
that's
so important.
That's why those weren't just a feel-good thing.
Right.
Those surveys will shape the interviews, the criteria,
right,
through which every candidate will be processed.
Right.
So the congregation's voice will be heard in the process. And the congregation's voice will guide the leadership in making that final decision.
Right.
But we don't want a beauty contest, because different personalities connect with different people differently.
That's right.
I mean, if we put three godly people up there, guaranteed, there'll be three different opinions on the congregation.
Yeah.
And then inevitably, whatever you decide, some people are going to be disappointed. That's a terrible thing for the congregation and a terrible thing for the successor.
Well, I mean,
by the way, I was called by a 13-member elder board. The congregation weighed in on what they were looking for, but it was the 13 elders of ACAC in 1984 who prayed and made a unanimous decision to call Karen and me. So that's the way we've always done it at ACAC.
Well, I think that really clears up a lot of the questions of why we went that route.
Yeah, it's the wise way to go.
And I think this was a good conversation to have, and I hope the folks really understand that much better.
Yeah, well, thanks for giving me a good block of time to do it.
Thank you, sir.